Welcome to the Jeff Thomas Show. Always on time and bringing you the hottest topics today. Now, introducing the show host, Jeff Thomas.
What's up, everybody? You tuned in to the Jeff Thomas Show. This is Black Men Talking Wednesdays. That's right. As promised, Black Men Talking Wednesdays. I am your host, bringing you issues concerning African-American men. And I wanted to do this because I wanted Black men to have a platform and a format in which they could express themselves and express their thoughts and express their views about things that go on in their everyday life in society. And so I have a panel that has, the panelists are just off the chain. These brothers are going to bring, you know, all of what you would want to hear from men that are out here every day, that are professional men, that are business owners, that are movers and shakers. And so these young gentlemen that will grace the podcast this evening, I can't wait. I'm just pumped up for it. We had a long talk. I hope that you can give us some feedback. So wherever you find our podcast, if it's iTunes, if it's Spotify, if it's iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Play, any of those formats, subscribe to our show. Give us some feedback on this show. Let us know. Give us a rating. Let us know what you think about this show, because we want to know if you're really feeling what these brothers are saying. Take your time out, you know, press the buttons on iTunes, whatever. However you get in the podcast, man, let us know. And so on today's show, I have an esteemed group of panelists. I have Dr. Paul Phillips from the Better Man in Me Foundation and Dominate Productions. I have the Bishop, William James. He's going to bring it. And then I have the young gun entrepreneur, businessman, Kevin Sims is going to be in the building. So make sure you all tune in, lock it in, subscribe to our podcast. If you're listening straight from Blog Talk Radio, subscribe to our podcast, follow the show so you can get all the updates. And so I'm going to leave it. I'm going to let these brothers do the talking, man. I'm just going to kind of kick back. So you all have a great day. Make sure you check out Relationship Thursdays tomorrow night. Relationship Thursday tomorrow night. Make sure you get in on that. I'm going to have a special guest for you. So you guys have a wonderful day. Peace. Everybody, you tuned in to the Jeff Thomas Show. On today, as promised, it's the debut show for the Black Men Talking Wednesdays right here. That's right. We got something for Black men. And on today, I have an esteemed panelist. I mean, they're going to get it in, and they're going to be very frank and very honest and very transparent with issues concerning Black men. And I wanted to bring that to the Jeff Thomas Show. Y'all know, of course, we have Relationship Thursdays. If you got a chance to listen to last week's show, Relationship Thursdays, I hope the women, that podcast actually has gotten a lot of downloads. I haven't got any hate mail just yet, but I'm just saying, maybe it's coming. Some sisters down the road will be like, boy, I heard you talking that stuff. Well, I try to be as transparent as possible with the topics that we go through. So on today's show, I have three esteemed gentlemen. I have Dr. Paul Phillips from Dominate Productions and the Better Man Than Me Foundation. I have Bishop William James in the building. K-side to the day we die, baby. You know how we do it. And then I got Kevin Sims. We got the young, that's what we need to hear. We need to hear what these young brothers got to say. So I'm going to let them go around and introduce themselves and talk a little bit about who they are. Dr. Paul.
All right. Thank you, JT, for having me. I'm Dr. Paul Phillips. I've done quite a bit of work with Mr. Thomas. What can I say? I am the founder of the Better Man Than Me Foundation. We are an organization that mentors young men. We have served over 9,000 young men in the past almost 10 years and given out 8 academic scholarships. I've been mentoring for, that's with the program, but I've been mentoring for over 30 years. So it's a passion of mine, and I feel like it's a calling of mine as well. We also have a for-profit arm to our nonprofit, which is Dominate Productions, and we have a clothing line that helps fund our efforts.
Great, great, great. Brother James.
I am William James. I'm just William tonight and take the bishop title off tonight. I'm the pastor of Newmont Calvary Missionary Baptist Church of Chicago. And I'm just glad to be here. We work with a lot of children throughout the city, serving with one of the largest summer camps. We do mentorship. We have feeding program. We do curriculum with reading and math for the children, even while they're with us in the summertime. We keep them off the streets. We give them time to play ball and do other activities. But then there's a portion of the day where we have a breakout session, take them to different classrooms, and whoever needs help with reading, with math, with English, we have that on staff. So I'm just glad to be here tonight to talk. Open tonight, and just, hey, it's a great show. Thank you, Brother Thomas, for having me on.
Appreciate you. Kevin.
Hello, hello, hello. Hey, I'm Kevin. Glad to be here as well. I'm a corporate guy. I worked in supply chain my entire career. Helping bring some great meals to you for undisclosed company at this point. Also, heavy in the real estate investment game. As mentioned, I'm like the youngest panelist on here right now, so I appreciate Mr. Thomas for having
me. I'll pay anything to trade the ages with you. Just let me know. We can figure that out. I trade ages any day. Anybody want to, any suitors? But anyway, I'm glad, and as you can see, we have educated African-American men that's on our panel this evening. I'm going to jump right into it. And I want to know from each one of you, in no order, what's the number one issue facing black men today?
Well, I'll start. I think the number one issue is, and I know you and I, Mr. Thomas, have discussed this many times, is issues related to our fathers. And it's getting better. It's getting a lot better. But fatherlessness is a problem, has been a problem. And I only say that because 99.9% of the young men that I've mentored have come from fatherless homes and have suffered a lot of ills as a result of that. And I think that's one of the root causes for some of the issues we see in our inner cities with regards to our young men.
Mm-hmm. Brother James? Well,
somewhat related, but different route. I want to say exposure. I think there's what we are exposed to as young men may steer us in the wrong path in some cases. And I think that, you know, having a father figure can help with that exposure. I think there are quite a few individuals that do have father figures in their lives, and may not be the actual fathers, but it may not be that positive influence that they need. Mm-hmm. It exposes them to a different path than what maybe they should go down. So I think that's the key issue.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Dr. Phillips and Brother Sims. I'd like to add to that, I think a lot of it has to do with transparency. We as men and as fathers, we need to be transparent with our sons and nephews, you know, whoever we're mentoring, and let them know where they are. We've been there. Now, of course, it's changed because we don't have some of the challenges perhaps they've had when we were coming up, but we need to just be transparent. Let them know, hey, a lot of us, if we just be honest about it, we're from the streets. We've dealt with things, with gangs, and we dealt with having peer pressure. So we just need to have some transparency. Let them know, I've been there. You know, I've been there.
Yeah. And I mean, I always kind of grapple with it. And Dr. Paul, you talk about the male influence. And you and I, you know, for the most part, I'm not sure about Brother James, but you and I, we grew up without our fathers in the home. But we did have strong mother figures. You know, we know each other's moms, and we know they didn't really play no games with us when we were young children. But how do we fight that? I mean, how do we combat that? Because that is an issue. And so Kevin alluded to it. Coaches, teachers, mentors step in and act as a surrogate fathers. But if that doesn't happen, what do we do with that? What happens?
Yeah. I think we do what all of these men on this panel are doing right now. We have to be father figures. We have to mentor. I think it comes down to us investing ourselves in the community so that they can learn from the mistakes that we've made, expose them, as Kevin said, to some of the things that we're now able to be exposed to that we weren't able to and they're not able to. Because when they get exposure, they can see that the world is bigger than just 79th Street or on the block, right? And it's more to life than just what they have seen. And there's a better way, there's a different way of doing things. I think it's investment. And not just investment of us and I say this all the time, we need investment on all levels, the grassroots levels, which is what I just talked about, but then we need businesses to invest, Black-owned businesses to come along and invest in young men, give them jobs, internships, and again, expose them to a different way. And of course, I'm not going to rattle on, but we need that the government to come in and invest in our communities so that they can have opportunities.
Mm-hmm. I agree, definitely. I think that exposure piece is very important. We have to show them something different. If I can go back a year ago, we took our summer camp kids down, I think we were in some part of far out Indiana. As a matter of fact, it was Indianapolis. And these kids were excited just to go to Indianapolis because they had never been outside of Chicago. Wow. You know, and it was just, I was just to see their expressions on their faces. They was like, you know, they were just glad going down the road. They had never seen, you know, going down the expressway, you know. And I found that very interesting. And so I agree with you, exposure. We have to show them something else. We can't beat them over the head and you know, talk about them and be harsh with them if we haven't presented them with anything. And I often say, if, you know, are we going to be a part of the problem? Are we going to have a solution? So right. I agree that exposure piece is very important.
Yeah. And that solutions, those exposing solutions – cost time and money.
Yeah.
Time and money, right? Because, you know, cut off the TV and let's go down the road to Indiana. That costs you some money and that costs you some time. And Black men have to be willing to invest our time and money.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Kevin, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think really echoing everything else just said, I think it's really going to take investment, right? So you have to invest to show people that they're worth, you know, they're worth it. And put that into their spirit to let them know they are, they have that value in your eyes. They can see the same value in themselves. You know, if you had a father figure in the house, you got to really have the Black men in the community step up and take on that burden. I shouldn't call it a burden, take on that responsibility.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, and I'm going to echo some brother James said. I remember when, man, this was back in early 2000s, I was working as a counselor at an alternative school on the west side of Chicago. And so we took the kids from the west side over to the Regal Theater on 79th Street. And when we got to Stony Island, the kids were like, we on Stony Island? This is Stony Island? I'm like, yeah, y'all ain't never been over there. It was like, we had never been on the south side of Chicago. So that just goes to show you the realm in which the kids are getting out. You know, you got kids who ain't never been downtown Chicago, which is just like, it's just like crazy, or even been off their block. So exposure, I definitely agree with Kevin bringing that point up. Dr. Paul talked about the economics of it. And so my thing is now, how do we get Black men to be engaged? And I know there's a lot of us engaged, but let's keep it real, brothers. And I talked about this on my podcast yesterday. And so the Black women, I talked about Donald Trump attacking Black women. And so if you look at the timeline in which he's, you know, said some really foul things to Black women, and he called Kamala Harris a monster. You know, he's called what's the sister in L.A.? I can't think of her name right now, but she's a congresswoman. And Maxine Waters, he called her all kind of, you know, disparaging names. And so, and I had to think back. I said, like, why is he coming at Black women so hard? And I had to think, maybe because a Black woman has been the backbone and the strength of our community.
Strong, yes.
So that's why he's attacking the Black women like that. Rarely heard him say anything about Black men who have, you know, kind of ripped them apart. But I want to get your thoughts. And how do we as Black men take the lead in this movement?
So go ahead, Kevin.
You have to be present. We just spoke about the men not being around in the household. You have to be present. You have to first show up in order to take the lead. Right now the women are in the forefront because they're around. They're holding down because they're there. Like, men are backing out.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with that. I had a conversation with some colleagues of mine few days ago, we were talking about the same, issue. And my thing is, I'm tired of meeting. Let me just put that out there. I'm tired. We got to meet about the meeting. And nothing never comes out of it. We just meeting just to be meeting.
Right.
What's the course of action we're going to take to come from behind the four walls, to hit the streets, and walk up and talk to these young brothers? Because believe it or not, a lot of them are approachable. It's just how we approach them. I think we need to figure out what it is we need to be able to say to them to reach them. And I'm not trying to get heavy and deep on you all tonight, even in my church.
Get heavy. Get heavy,
I look at my demographics in my church, of the young people in our church. I'm not your typical pastor. I tell anybody, if you're going to bring your grandmama to my church, let me know what Sunday she's coming so I can put my collar in my robe. Because I'm preaching in jeans and my Jordans and, and a Robert Graham button-down shirt or my Bears jersey, because we got to be able to reach them. We can't come all the way up here and tell them about what we've done back then and there, but we got to be able to approach them and let them know, hey, I'm coming down. I want to talk to you on your level. Tell me what it is I can do for you. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of me. What's next? What are we going to do?
Exactly.
That's me.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we have to be, just to add on to you, Bishop James, I think we have to be transparent too. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times the young men look at us as some type of different being.
Yeah.
Oh, you college educated, or you got a house, you got a pretty wife, you a pastor, right? Mm-hmm. You different, right? And you're different. And a lot of times we have to let them know, hey, I was you. I came right. from where you came from. And guess what? I made some of the same mistakes that you have made. I'm not perfect. Because in talking to these young men, again, they think that, oh, you different. And I think when we come correct and come transparent, and be willing to be an open book. And I make mistakes, but I'm still struggling making mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. But I also think that it's a struggle. JT, it's a struggle. Because a lot of us Black men, the four of us on here now are some very busy people. We got jobs, we have careers, we have ministries, we have families. And I'm saying this from experience. In the 10 years we've been doing our mentoring program, most of our support, 90% of our support, come from guess who? Women.
Women.
It's hard to get the brothers to come. And these are not bad guys, but you got two types of men. You got the responsible man who tries to take care of his business. And I don't really have time because I got to pay the bills and take care of the wifey and the kids. And then you got the irresponsible man that don't have a heart for it. Right. So you left in the middle. Who do you have left? Females. Right. You got the females. They always coming. They're my number one supporters. Yeah. They coming. Why? Because they've been the backbone and they still are the backbone.
I agree.
Kevin, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this because you're almost in that. You're in that demographic.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Outside of being present and being transparent, it's hard. I think about, coming out of college and some of the guys I saw come under me and watching them grow and progress. I think being real with people, like Dr. Paul said, people look at you and they think, oh, you're different. Like, you made it out of the city. You may talk a little different now. Or if you come around and you talk like they talk, they look at you like you're fake or something like that. Like, you made it. Why are you still in the same predicament? Are you trying to communicate to me in this level? You're trying to dumb it down for me or something like that. It's kind of hard. You get kind of stuck in the middle in this position. I think that's why some folks, myself included, and I haven't really stepped my game up on the mentor to be in the VAR level. I'll be transparent about that. It's kind of hard to do it because people look at you and it's hard to know, what part of yourself to show and be present to really help out with a person in their predicament, And like I said, everyone's busy, but somehow, some way, the Black women find a way to make it work and make it happen. We can also find a way to make it work and make it happen. But I think it's for us men, I think it's like we miss on how we can connect with them. And that's what we need to figure out.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you tuned in to the Jeff Thomas Show. Hey, we talking Black Men Talking Wednesdays. I got some heavy hitters in here tonight. You know, they're not pulling any punches. We are on 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. Monday, of course, is the JT Live NFL recap. Tuesdays is our show where we kick it in. We talk politics, news, entertainment, the whole nine yards. Wednesdays, Black Men Talking Wednesdays. It's for brothers. Thursdays, relationships. You won't get it in on the relationships now. That's definitely going to happen. So we can do that. But I want to, you know, Kevin, you brought up some interesting points about, you know, people, the transparency. How do you gauge that now? Because if you've been out of that environment for a while, I mean, Paul, you know, we grew up, the areas you grew up in, the hundreds in Chicago. Wild, wild hundreds is what they call it.
That's wild me, hundreds. Man, right there with
you. So, I mean, right. I lived in Robert Taylor's. I lived on every place. We moved all over the place when we were young. You know, Inglewood, all of it. And so how do we bridge that gap? Because I don't live in those areas anymore. And it's unfortunate. I'm not saying – I ain't no punk. So I ain't never scared to go nowhere. But I know when I go certain places and I see – I look at some of the environments. I remember a couple of years ago I was going to a funeral. And it was on 67. It was in Inglewood. But the block we were on, I think it was Elizabeth. And I looked up and I saw signs up. And they were painted signs that said, please don't shoot our kids. Please don't shoot down this block. And I'm saying to myself, now, there was shooting and stuff going on when we was younger, but I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
Where you actually have those signs and people, this is people that's pretty much held hostage in their own communities. Right. And so I'm saying to myself, what could I do as a Black man to come back and try to put in some groundwork with these people and for all of us? And before we even move forward, I'll put this out there. We are all part of the Divine Nine. And so especially the men groups, you know, here's the thing about these organizations, and W.B. Du Bois talked about this, the Talented Tenth. And so we are all of us are in that Talented Tenth, and we are the educated, we know, and we should go back and teach our youth. But this is an organized body of Black men.
Right.
The D9 is all, we call up, y'all know, hey, it's going, we go to our province, we go to our councils, we go to our conclaves, we do all that stuff. We organize, we're 5,000 deep. Yeah. But if I say, listen, let's go 5,000 march, I might get two or three people, maybe four or five, to Brother James's point. So, Kevin, how do we gauge that? Because I'm, you know, I got young boys, but they ain't never grew up in the city. They don't know, they ain't about that life. They ain't about that life. You know, I had to tell them, hey man, listen, put the phone up, put this up, take this off, don't do this, don't do that. Because we, if you grew up in the inner city, you know,
yeah,
you know what you got to do in order to survive. So how do we gauge that, Kevin? Because I want to talk to you because that's your demo. And I want us to be able to pull something. People who are listening can learn something from it.
Yeah, it's really, I don't want to say it's tough, but you really got to think about it before you kind of go in and try to make an attempt at it. You really do. The first thing I would say, you got to approach everybody as an individual, man. So when you walk, you have to show that you are a man and be confident when you're going back to these neighborhoods and walking around. You know, I grew up, I had a stint in the hundreds, lived in the South Shore. You know, we were all over the south side of the city kind of growing up. Mm-hmm. I came home one time for college. I didn't know where we lived at. I had to call my mom, figure where we was at.
Yeah, I know the feeling, brother. I know the feeling.
It's weird, man, walking around. But, you know, you should walk around and people, you know, as men in general, we look at body language and we gauge you, you know, off that immediately. And we can sense fear. And if you're walking around these neighborhoods and you're walking timid, that's going to stand out like a sore thumb. You know, people already know their environment. We are very, you know, adept and know our environment. It can tell when somebody's not from around there. I haven't been around there for a while. If you come in there with that and also not being confident, walking around scared and timid, it's going to stick out like a sore thumb. And no one's going to listen to anything you have to say if you do that. So yeah. The first thing you have to do, I would say, is walk confidently into these neighborhoods and come with a purpose. You know, come in with a purpose for people. I don't recommend, and then the other thing I'm going to say too, to be very real, not everybody wants to be helped. Not everybody's looking to be
helped. That's true.
Not everybody's looking to change. You got to figure out who does and who doesn't, and get to those so you can. Because if you don't, you know, you try the wrong people. Some people take that as offensive, and that can be a negative thing for you as well. So you really got to, you know, have to keep your ear to the streets and figure out who out there has that potential. You know, I have my friend, you know, he and I stay in this building together, and he does a great job, man. I mean, he's nowhere near connected to the street life, but he's always taking the younger guys under his wing and, you know, talking to them, seeing what's going on, and, you know, connected to them on a human level. And that's really what you have to do. You can tell from doing that, like, who's really trying to make something better with their lives and has that, you know, that desire to go out and see something different, and who is content with what they got going on right now. And you know, it's high and by, and, man, hope I see you the next day. Hope you still here. It's like, Bill.
That's a very interesting point. And I'm about to come to Dr. Paul, and I'm about to come to Brother James, and I, because you all are in the trenches, and Brother James, I've been to your church. So I know. I remember I stepped out the truck, you know, wife, we pulled up. They was, brothers were standing on the thing, you know, and I spoke, you know, because I, what's up? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I did, like Kevin said, what's up? What's going on? How y'all doing? Mm-hmm. You know, let them know we about to go in the church, but don't mess up the truck. I mean, if you do, it's insured, but I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? That when we coming back out, we don't want no sweat.
Right.
And so you all are in the trenches. And Brother James, I'll start with you first, and Dr. Paul, we'll come to you with the same question. How do you approach the youth out there?
Well, this is one of the major parts in approaching. We have to listen. We talk a lot. We don't listen. We used to have something at our church on Thursday nights that we were doing before COVID and all this happened, where we would bring the young people in off the streets to sit down and have conversation with them. What I would do, I would bring myself, some of my colleagues and friends who were in the professional field and speak to the kids. You know, I got a couple of friends that are, and cousins that are Chicago police officers. And what we would do is we would come in and just tell them, talk to us. What's going on in your community? Open up to us and let us know how you feel about the church being in the neighborhood. How you feel about the people that live across the street from you that you might think are not doing good. Watch this. How about the people that live in your own house? We had kids that opened up to us, young guys, that talked about that they don't know their daddy. Mama gone off with her boyfriend, and they've been raised by the older brother who's selling drugs, who's holding the block down. And they share to open up. So I think we got to listen, because we can't attack the issue until we find out really what the issue is, because all of them don't have the same plight. As Brother Sim said, you know, some of them want to be helped. Some of them don't want to be helped. We talked to some guys. They were in there on their telephones. Guys, put your phones up. You know, they didn't want to open up, but some of them really did want to open up. So I think we have to listen to them. And once we listen to them, then we'll be able to address what it is that they need. But guess what? In order to listen to them, we have to approach them. And like you said, we can't be out here scared. You know, you can't be no punk, no chump. You got to come to them and address them. But watch this. Another thing is, it comes a level of respect. Even in our community where we are, they respect us because, like you said, Brother Tumler, we talk to them. Hey, man, how y'all doing today? I know 75% of them ain't coming to my church. But guess what I do? Hey, man, I'm here every Sunday at 11:30. Come sit in. Come holler at me. Only in here for an hour. I know they ain't coming. But I'm approaching them. I'm addressing them to let them know, hey, I want you to know, even if this church is here in the community where you live, where you hang out, I want to let you know it's here for you too. Because guess what? Somebody's going to come in. Somebody's going to say, you know what? Let me go over here and see what this dude's talking about. But you have to be able to approach them and to listen to them.
Good. Great point. But Dr. Paul, I'm curious, because I know I've been to your, you know, a few of your events, and you were able to get a lot of young men, and you always had the carrot. You had the good carrot to bring them in. So,
right. Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit, because
So I agree with everything that's been said. I also think a point that needs to be made, that we have to be transparent, but we also don't have to be phony. In other words, they could tell a fake. Me, yes. Y'all know me. Well, you know me, JT. I'm a church boy. I went from being a church boy, went straight from the church to college, right? I ain't never been arrested, never sold drugs. And I learned early on, don't even try to be that, right? Don't even, because they can smell it from a mile away. You ain't about that life, right? But I agree with Kevin and Brother James here. You can't be scared. One of the things I do a lot of times, and I haven't done a lot of street ministry, but I've talked to a lot of large groups of young men from Inglewood to Allgill Garden. And one of the things I did actually at Heartland Alliance, where Kenny Harvey works, I've been invited there a couple of times in Inglewood. Some really hardcore young men. I think the first time I was there, I'm talking and I can feel the tension in the room. I said, whoa, wait, 1 minute. I need to let y'all know, I ain't scared of none of y'all in here, right? And the atmosphere changed just like that. Because I felt like they were trying to intimidate a boy, your boy, and it wasn't going to happen, right? So you got to show that confidence, but you also got to say, hey, I've never been where you are, but if you at least stop, listen, and let these people know, I'm here because I want to help. A lot of our young men have been abandoned, and they have abandonment issues, and they have daddy issues, and they feel abandoned by black men, and the only men that have connected with them have been the drug dealers. So here I am, here we are coming along, college educated, don't want anything from them, but I'm here to help, right? I'm supposed to be at work or wherever, I'm here to help. And a lot of those young men, they won't say it openly, but I've had a lot of them come to me after you've spoken, JT, afterwards, and said, man, what that brother said, what you said really touched me. They will never say that in front of their boys, right? Mm-hmm. That really touched me. And what touched them was the fact that there were some black men that could be somewhere else doing something else, right? But they took the time out on a Saturday or a Sunday to stop and talk to them about their issues that relates to them, police brutality and college prep and incarceration and things like that. So to sum it up, don't try to be like them, be yourself, be transparent, but let them know, hey, I'm here to help. And I promise you, you're not going to give all 100 of them, but you're going to break off one or two of them and they're going to come through. And I've worked with some ex-cons, 5 felonies, ex-drug dealers. And when they really knew that Dr. Paul was there to help, they called me 12 midnight. Hey, Dr. P, I need you to talk to me because I'm about to snap. I'm about to slap the hell out of this girl. One of the guys called me and said, look, Dr. P, if I don't get a job soon, I'm telling you now, I'm going back to selling drugs. Just call me up and told me that right off the bat because he felt that confident with telling me that. And I had to talk him through that particular issue, right? So why? Because he knew that I cared. He knew I ain't never sold drugs before, but he knew that I cared. We going to get everybody, like you said, Brother James. We going to get a few.
Oh, yeah.
Knocking on that door, you're going to get a few. And those few are going to go get a few more. That's the way it works. But you got to take the time.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. And I think one thing that sticks out listening to you say that is trust. They've lost the trust in black men.
Yes, sir.
Because daddy messed it up. I don't trust. I didn't heard that. I heard that before. I heard my mama talking bad about my daddy. My daddy wasn't present. He wasn't around. So they don't. The trust level is gone.
Yep.
So and I hear you, man. That's really strong. So we gotta try to help them learn how to trust all over again. But guess what? A lot of them never did trust.
That's right.
So now we almost have to teach them how to trust. We gotta feed them a little bit. You can't give it all to them at one time because it's too much. So you might have to hit them today for 5 minutes, and then the day after that, hit them for 15 minutes. And the day after that, hey, man, give me your phone number. I want to text you something. You know, so we got to almost like, it's like going fishing. We got to find the right bait to reel them in.
Man. And in addition to that, you got to be wise too, because some of them would like to take advantage. Like to manipulate.
Yeah.
I'm in that position too. I said, whoa, I'm not your personal bank.
And
I'm I'm not your mama. You want to get from point A to point B,
yeah.
You have to do, right? And if you don't do it, and I told old boy, they said he's going to go back to selling drugs. I said, okay. You know what I told him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's what landed you in jail in the first place. So mm-hmm. just know that if you go back to selling drugs, eventually you're going back. Yep. Right? We got to talk to them as men, mm-hmm. raised by women, know how to manipulate women,
mm-hmm.
and get emotional. We have to approach them from a male perspective. And guess what? When men talk to men, they respond.
Yes, sir.
Perk up.
Definitely.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is the Jeff Thomas Show. Hey, I mean, what you're hearing right now is jewels being dropped. You can check us out Monday through Thursday right here. You can check us. We're on every platform, Spotify, iHeart, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. You can find our podcast any place around. We're here 4 days a week, so make sure you subscribe and download our podcast. We have an esteemed group, Dr. Paul Phillips, Better Man and B Foundation, Dominate Productions. We have, I'm calling him Bishop Respect, Bishop William James is in the building. And then we got the young guns. We got the corporate young gun in the building. He just laid back. But, I mean, I give him – you know what? I give him a combination. He got the hood street smarts, and then he got the education smart. So he got it. He got the best of both worlds, and ask me. But I want to say something really quick, and we had alluded to this. We talk about the young men. I remember – I'm not going to call out the organization that I used to work for. It's a nonprofit organization, and I used to be the director at this organization. And you know what was funny? The women, they had cars, they had children, and they had their own apartments. They were together. The guys, they were on the bus, and then they would always complain about not trying to come to work because they couldn't get there, and it was too cold outside. And I'm seeing these young ladies who are and top it off, a lot of them were in school too. And so one day I checked them, all the guys who were BS. I said, man, I ain't trying to hear that. These women around here got kids and they got places, and you around here talking about you can't get here. I said, man, you better be here every single day. I'm gonna fire you. Period, point blank. I will let you go. And so I wondered about that, because I know in my DNA it's always been you gotta go get. You know, and my mother didn't allow me those outs. And I'm wondering if sometimes the mothers, and I'm not ripping on mothers for taking care of the kids when the father's not around. That's a great thing. That's an admirable thing to do. But sometimes they love their sons and raise their daughters. You know what I'm saying? They love their sons. And you don't have to do that. You don't have to clean up. You don't have to. I got you, baby. You know, they butter them up. And so, then they get out in the world. It's like, my mama said I ain't have to do this. So Kevin, what's your thoughts about that, man?
Oh, man, that's an interesting point, man. I never thought about it that way, honestly. That's hard for me to speak on it. I'm trying to think of some people I knew that grew up in single family homes or single parent households with just their mother. Because I didn't know, me and Keith didn't get that luxury.
right.
We had that luxury of our mother and our father. So I'm thinking back, you know, I have some people I know that do have that kind of being catered to and taken care of. And I can see that. I can see a mother being harder on their daughter than they were on their son. You know, maybe having empathy for them because the father wasn't there. I can see how that can lead to, you know, maybe a detrimental path down the road, not having that work ethic. I find it interesting that there's men out there like that. If you're being catered to your whole life, you know, I've heard it, but personal experience, I don't know much about it. It's an interesting point though, man.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of Dr. Paul.
I agree. It's the mama's fault. I ain't gonna, you know, I'm gonna say mama's fault. Right?
He said it. I didn't say that. Dr. Paul said that's the mama's fault.
But right.
I'm
me.
The expert. I'm gonna let him go ahead. Go ahead.
Not only is the mama's fault, it's the mama and the grandmama's fault. And here's the reason why, you know, and I was raised by a strong black woman, and I'm grateful for it. So I'm not trying to disrespect women, and we're grateful for women. But what a lot of our women do is because they are strong black women that was raised by strong black women, they come with it and they teach their baby girl, you got to be a strong, independent black woman, right? But then you're right. Then they love on their sons, right? And that son is lacking that male influence that said, no, just like you said, no, I don't want to hear that. Here's what you need to do, X, Y, Z. And not only that, let me go a little bit further. A lot of our women today are dating men and taking care of men just like their mamas did. Mm. I see young women that I see going to go pick up their boyfriend for a date. And that was mind-boggling to me when my youngest daughter did that. My head started spinning, right? And she was like, well, this is what we do. No, when we were growing up, right, first of all, the girls wouldn't even talk to us unless we had a car.
Right? Come on, man. She get no play.
Right. But now the girls are picking up. I know so many young ladies driving, they got their car, and they go pick up their boy, the dude, or the dude is driving their car, right? My point is, it is a vicious cycle, right? And that's why we need the fathers. That's why we need the fathers to set a standard and to say, no, here's the way it's going to go. If a man don't work, he does not eat. Don't make me go Bible on you, right?
Come on, preach.
Man don't work, he does not eat, right? And everybody wasn't privileged to have the type of mothers you and I had, Jeff and Kevin as well. I know your mother, right? Where no, you either going to college, you're going to military, but you're getting up out of here, right?
Yeah.
And I can relate.
We that. We don't have that a lot of women. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
We don't. I was born in a house with my mother and my father. My father was a Country Baptist preacher from Camden, Mississippi. And he died when I was 9 years old. So my mother raised me from 9 to 15. My uncle stepped in, her brother, you know, because I was going through rebellious stage. I was mad at the world. My daddy died. Going through that stage, my uncle stepped in to help my mother and kept his foot on my neck. My mother remarried another preacher. And so he didn't treat me any different than he did his own children. He raised us together. And like you said, when I remember graduating high school, here I graduated the Chicago Bulls one that night. Man, I'm trying to get home so I can get out and celebrate this high school graduation, kick it, celebrate the Bulls win. And when I got home to change my clothes, my mother and I don't call my stepdad, he's my pop. They sat down at the table with me. And they said, man, we're so proud of you, all the accomplishments that you've made. But my daddy said, what's next? Because in order to stay in this house, he said, you got two options. You're going to work or you're going to go to school. We prefer door number two, that you go to school. So I went to school and I worked. But what I'm saying is, there was no time, no let up on me. They're like, if you're going to be in this house, You ain't gonna do nothing but succeed. We're gonna make sure you're gonna succeed. And so I think that's really what's missing. You know, someone to step up and keep their foot on their neck. Even though dad's not present, you know, if it's an uncle that steps in, if it's a grandfather, they need some type of male role model in their face that they see working. And I could agree with you better, Dr. Phil. I ask my daughter that all the time, and she's grown. Just closed on our own house. She's a nurse. I ask her all the time, Daddy, I'm dating someone. Okay, first thing I want to know, where he lives? What is he driving? And my ultimate number three is, what's his 5-year goals? Where did he see himself in 5 years? I want to know all that. I know you dating him, but I want to know all of that. Because, you know, she needs to know she ain't picking nobody up. You know, she's not paying for dinner. I mean, I'm hard. He got to treat you like I treat your mother. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
Pastor James, what you're doing is talking about standards.
Yes, yes.
Setting the standards, and that's the job of the husband, the father, the
man. Yes.
And the family and in the community is just mm-hmm. a standard that has not been set.
So yes. Kevin, they just brought up an interesting point, and I want to know how you feel about that, because has it changed that the woman now is out here? Is that the new standard? Because, I mean, well, let's just keep it real. You got Cardi B, you got Megan Stallion, they talk about WAP and all that old kind of stuff.
Oh, got Lord. This, got that.
And, hey, I mean, You know, the woman want to treat. I'm all right with that every now and then. But, you know, I'm saying, some of this stuff, it really seems like some sort of empowerment that women, and we got the Me Too movement. And so you have a lot. Because I'm going to tell you, this happened to me. Mm-hmm. I opened the door for a woman. And she told me, you don't have to open the door for me. I'm like, whoa. Wow. I told her, I said, that's how I was raised.
Yeah.
I said, I know y'all a new age woman, but I was raised to open the door for you. So just live with it. She had an attitude and everything. I'm like, man, wow. Brother can't even be nice and open the door. You know, right. So Kevin, I want to hear from you, man. What's the new deal? Because you that's your demo. So tell us what's happening.
Yeah, I haven't experienced that myself, unfortunately. Looking to take care of them, man. That's pick them up. I don't know. When I'm dating, she got a different standard than that. But I think it is. I think it probably boils down to what y'all just talking about, man. You know, the women feeling the need to take care of the man in some of these instances. So they feel the need to provide for the man as opposed to the man provide for the woman. So they loaning them their cars. I seen something, this ain't funny, but I'm laughing. I seen a thing on Facebook. Some girl loaned her guy a car, and the car got shot up. Told my hey, this is why you don't loan your man your car. He's driving around here doing crazy stuff in the car. I see it happen though, man. I don't know where they finding these women at. I don't know where they were born at. I don't know how they were born. I ain't seen the found one just yet like that. But it's happening, man. It's they willing to do it, you know. And on the independent tip, you know, out here, I do see a lot of women not wanting to be. You kind of go on a date with somebody, they want to pay their half. They don't want you to pay for the whole thing. They find their own way to get their own Uber to the spot. They don't want you to, you know, go pick them up or kind of get the Uber. It's kind of a big independent movement happening out there. It's interesting to see, but I will say this, though. If you a man allowing that to happen, that says more about you than it does about the woman.
Say that, man.
There's no way I can ever sit and my girlfriend or my lady's house not pay anything, not do nothing, sit on the couch, play the game all day, which I know some of these guys out here doing. You know, they go out here, sell $2 $5 bags worth of weed or something, come back, and they did some work. You know, it's like, I don't know how these men are living or how they moving, man, but it's wild. You know, I would say it's crazy.
The baby boy syndrome. Baby boy, remember Jeff?
Yeah. I agree with Dr. Paul. The standard. I watched a show the other day with my wife, and I was flipping through the channels, and another show came on. I ain't gonna call the show's name, but y'all probably know what it is when I start talking about it. And the woman proposed to the man. What's backwards about that? Because the standard, like you said, we don't have a standard. It's like we're doing role reversal. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I've never seen anything like it before in my life to see a woman get down on her knee and propose to a man.
Yeah.
I don't, the standard, like you said, Doc, it's gone.
Yeah, right.
You know what? And I'm not going to hate on Cardi B and them. You know, I'm just for the record, I don't hate on those sisters. Mm-hmm. You know, because aesthetically they're nice looking, but I saw Cardi B, and Cardi B gave her husband $500,000 cash for his birthday. That's, you know, so when you're a young woman, if you're watching that, you're a fan of hers, you're thinking, hey, I want to be like that. I want to have my own money. I want to have a man like that. And I want to be able to give him $500,000 cash. Now, me personally, I would have took it. And my wife gave me $500,000. I'm taking it, you know, without question. I'm taking the money. But I probably would give it back to her. And maybe he did that. We don't know. But I would spend it on my wife or do whatever I'm going to do with it. You know, it's hers. And that's my philosophy. If my wife gives me something monetarily, I'm going to give it back to her. That's just how I was raised to do things. And Kevin, I agree with you. You know, if you're sitting around, man, and you know, your woman is doing everything for you, that's a problem. You know, you need to grow a pair, you know, as they say. And you brothers are saying all the right things. I want to transition a little bit, and I want to talk about, because we talk about black men, and on this particular subject, I'm going to throw a little relationship in it, because we got about 15 more minutes, 10, 15 more minutes to go. So I want to talk a little relationship. And of course, me and Brother James, we're married. We're off the market. So let's get that out there right now. We love our wives and all that kind of stuff.
We yes, got a
disclaimer out there. The two alphas, they not married though. So
imagine that.
Yeah, right. Imagine that. The roles were reversed. The roles are reversed. But no, seriously though, like especially for Dr. Paul and Kevin, like, what is it like now? Because you all are single. You know, I don't know if you're involved. And Kevin's mentioned he had a girlfriend. What is it like? What do you look for? Because I know a lot of women are going to want to know this. What do you look for in a woman now?
You want to go first there?
Sure, why not? So I'm not married, but I was married for 25 years. And I was married to a boss chick, right? And since I've been divorced for 7 years, I've dated a lot of boss chicks. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a question by telling me what I'm not looking for. Mm. A boss chick.
Okay. Right? Okay. That's understood.
I am not oh, looking yeah. for, right. I've dated doctors and eye doctors and attorneys and entrepreneurs and multimillionaires. I've dated all those type of women, right? And I'm not knocking them, but that's not the type of woman that I'm looking for, right? Because a lot of times when a woman is beautiful on the outside and has her own money, subconsciously, right, it messes her up.
Yeah.
I'm looking for someone, and I hope to don't let the women hear this. I'm looking for someone that don't mind submitting.
Come on, man.
I'm looking for someone that don't have to argue. I'm looking for someone that says, I trust you. Mm-hmm. Right? And I trust that you have my best interest at heart. So someone that does not have trust issues, someone that is, however, not a boss chick, but is intelligent, right? Intelligent when it comes to money, right? Someone that has a relationship with God, someone that is physically fit and is going to take care of her body. And let me end by saying this, someone that loves herself, right? And what I mean by that, she don't have low self-esteem. And I bet all of us have dated a woman or two that's had low self-esteem, and it is hell, right? Because a person that got low self-esteem got trust issues, always think you cheating on them, and what have you. So someone who is comfortable in her own skin and someone that got something going on, she ain't got to be a boss chick, but when I'm doing my thing, working, because I got a lot going on, I need you to be able to be occupied until I get there and not blowing up my phone all day long. Mm. I'll leave it at that because I probably lost a lot of fans.
You left out cook because that's a lost art today. I mean, it's a
cook, do the laundry, grocery shop. I'm messing up.
You going there? Yeah, you digressing. Hey, the views expressed by not necessarily that of the Jeff Thomas show.
Well, they said, look at the numbers dropping. The numbers dropping.
All right, Kevin, I'm curious to hear your thoughts, man.
Yeah, I would say, man, I agree a lot with what Dr. Paul just said. I would say, first and foremost, one thing I don't necessarily agree with is the whole boss chick thing. I think it all has to do with their personality. And then another piece that you touched on is the willingness to submit and let the man be the man. That's big. Personally, somebody that's fun. Like I'm an outgoing, fun, loving guy. I can't be with somebody that's kind of mundane and all around, not really doing too much. I really got no type of social life, nothing like that. One that has friends, I think that's important because she don't have any friends.
And it's not gonna have no friends, right?
That you gotta have somebody that have the friends in their own life. You know, that's kind of important. Ambitious, you know, obviously physically appealing. I ain't gonna get into the whole attributes what I look for as far as that, but obviously has to be attractive,
right?
You know, intelligent, you know, respectful. I pay attention to a lot about how women treat their mothers mm-hmm. and their parents. I think that's a very telling, you know, sign of how they talk to their mother. and relationships they have with their parents, I think is very important. Something to look out for. What else? Chicago is tough, man. Chicago type of woman is a different type of woman, man. So it's kind
of, yeah. Would you date a woman that got kids?
You know what? As I'm getting older, you know, my mind may change about that. Preferably, no, in my mind. But hey, who cares about what I think? For the women out there that may watch this, you have a kid, you're doing your own thing, more power to you. Just maybe not what I'm looking for. I don't like pets either. So if a person got a dog or a cat, that kind of takes them out of my realm too. That's the whole responsibility thing. But most importantly, man, it got to be somebody that's trustworthy. Because if you get serious with people, y'all married gentlemen know more about this than I do. And, you know, that's probably been married before too. But it can get to some situations where y'all get married and God forbid something happened to you. They have the right over your life in some cases, over your finances, over everything to do with you as being your spouse. You
know, it ain't no dope. They have it.
They got papers on you.
That's me, man. Power and control, man. That's my biggest fear right there. That's tough.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna give you some advice, and Brother James can too. You know, both of you all, what you said is a lot of women. I'm sure want to hear that, and I'm probably sure they will comment on that part. You gave some very valid things and some very real things. Kevin, I will answer your question. You know, your wife is, once you become one, and Dr. Paul can attest to this too, you know, she is your next closest person to you, regardless, your family, your mother, anybody. And I think sometimes men get that confused because some of them want mama's boy and they still want to hold on to their mama. But your wife is number one. And so if anything happens, and there have been numerous situations and examples of this happening where men have died or they've gotten extremely ill, the family wants to come in and take over. And it's like the wife's like, no, I'm in control. We're married and I make the decisions and you don't. And you just go sit down and you have to really live with that, you know, but you said something important, trust. And you really have to trust that that person is going to do right by you. And I can give you an example. I got straightened and as you all know, all you all know, I got sick, you know, 10 years ago, you know, and my wife really, the illness, the way it was at the time, she could have walked away. She could have been like, and we've heard and we study show that a lot of times when you have a serious disability and something happens to you, the other spouse kind of leaves. And so, you know, you got a rider when they stick with you throughout that whole piece.
That's right.
That's, through adversity is how you find out what that person is all about, you know, because in marriages today, you know, people, they run a lot of times if it gets really tough. Now, if somebody's disrespecting you or abusing you, that's a different story. I'm up. Yeah, man, I ain't trying to get, not constantly, because we all know, especially brothers have been married. We've had knockdown, drag out arguments with our wives where they've said things that we just be like, whoa.
Right.
But, you know, you stick it in there and you just say, hey, you know what? Then the next day you cool. It's like, you know.
Well, not the next day, maybe the week later. Well, maybe that's why I'm divorced.
Hey, Dr. Paul, I don't really spend a lot of time because, you know, I'll be trying to do something.
I understand.
I need to be taking care of business. So I don't be trying to do too much argue for a long period. I think about it, but I'm like, man, listen, wife, cool. All right, we straight. Let's do our thing. Brother James, any thoughts?
Yeah, I hear you. You know, my wife and I, we talk about that all the time jokingly, but it's true. She like, this is it. If we have a I tell people, me and my wife are arguing. We have intense fellowship. And so so when we're having intense fellowship, if it gets crazy, my wife says, she said, we ain't going nowhere. We got 4 bedrooms in this house. Pick a room and go over there until we get it together. And then we'll come back together.
Right.
But I think what happens is, and this is what we have to start doing. Somebody told me this years ago, and it's true. We have to, those that are single, date someone, watch this, in all 4 seasons.
Mm.
I need to see what you're like in the winter, spring, summer, and the fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we meet somebody, summertime, she let it all hang out. She got the Coke bottle shape. Man, got the hair flowing, the lashes going. I need to see what you look like under all of that getup. Let me see what you look like in the fall. Let me see what your skin look like in the wintertime when, you know, when it's dry and you ain't got no makeup on. I think we just jump out there.
Yeah.
And we don't really take our time and date people. And I think Brother Kevin said it. Watch how she talked to her mother. Watch how she treat her parents. Most women always say, I'm looking for someone like my dad. You've heard, I know y'all heard that said. My wife says it all the time. She said, compares me to her father. You know, you remember you so much like my dad. Most women say that. Some say it, some don't. But you gotta all four seasons. Because it's a lot of fugazis out here. They show you one thing, man.
No doubt.
This ain't my first. Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna stop it right here. Because I need to have y'all on a relationship. Monday Relationship Thursdays, I need to have y'all be a part of this so we could talk about this, because this kind of got a little heated. And I see y'all perking up, and I know that the women going to be, you know, asking about this particular segment. But before we get off the air, I just want everybody to kind of go around. Dr. Paul, tell us what you're doing. Promote your product. Let me just put it out real quick. And, I'm a big fan of the you know, my sons, man, they wear the Dominate mask at workouts, especially Justin. He has his mask on every football, the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. But if you can get it, you know what? We can't see. I don't have my green screen up. Man, did I go out?
Yeah, you disappeared.
I disappeared. I don't know what's going on.
There you go.
But I don't have my green screen, so I can't really show it like it is. But Dr. Paul, tell everybody what you're doing. The things you have, promote now.
Yeah. So, again, we got this organization, the Better Man Than Me Foundation. We mentor young men, and we provide annual scholarships. We've been doing that. This coming April will be 10 years that we've been doing that. We're kind of in a holding pattern now because most of that was with the schools. And as you know, the schools are kind of on lockdown right now. So we have, like I said, we speak at churches, schools, youth centers, and what have you. And we, you know, kind of encourage young men. We've helped young men get jobs. We sat in the courtroom with young men that had legal issues. We provided prom suits for young men that didn't have money to buy that. So we just really there to assist young men, especially young men that don't have a father in their life. So we do that, and because we are looking for funding to do that, one of the things we started about 3 or 4 years ago is we had Dominate Productions. Dominate Productions, we have done some music in the past. We got actually a whole album out there. We had a hip-hop group make out music. We also have a clothing line, which is what JT was holding up. A lot of hoodies, a lot of hats and what have you. And the purpose of our clothing line is when you purchase a t-shirt or a hoodie or whatever, 100% of the proceeds goes to our mentoring and our scholarship funds. And we got a website, dominateproductions.com. So go out there, grab you a hoodie or something, and know that when you purchase one of our products, you're actually donating to the Better Man Than Me Foundation. And again, we've helped over 9,000 young men from the city of Chicago in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, and you know, Dr. Paul, those are really great initiatives that you have, and the shirts are, I know they're a hit, and I've seen people comment about them, dominate, and that in the subconscious mind, and I know that's why my son Justin wears it, because he's in his subconscious mind, that's what he wants to do. You know, he wants to dominate, you know, be it athletics, academics, and the things that he do. So that's a very good point. So make sure you go out and support Dr. Phillips and Dominate Productions and Better Man Than Me Foundation. And I'm proud to sit on your board.
Yes, sir.
So we going to have to, because I got some ideas, but we'll talk at another date. Brother James, talk to me.
Newmount Calvary, we have a Newmount Calvary outreach building at our church. And what we're doing is we're continuing to feed those that are in our neighborhood, not just with food, but with knowledge as well. We're actually working on some programs in our outreach for, resume writing, learning how to write a check, learning how to balance a checkbook, We were in the process of getting that pushed full, but due to COVID-19, we're starting to try to do some things virtually now. So I'm working with some people to get our website going, where we can go in there and do what we're doing right now. We can do some Zoom meetings. We can do some StreamYard meetings, because it's just certain things that people just need to know. You got a lot of people never did a resume before. And so we want to, not just help the young people, we want to help their parents as well. We just opened up a bookstore at our church, so we're trying to promote that. We're not just with theology books, but I have some other friends of mine that are bringing some books in just to talk about everyday life, life skills, and just how to survive. And so that's going strong. We're trying to promote that. And so I'm helping my wife with her business. She just launched Savvy Essentials Body. She sells organic shea butter with different fragrances, and she's donating the proceeds now to breast cancer research. My mother was stricken with breast cancer in 2016. So she's still surviving to this day. I have a sister that's breast cancer free. And so we're taking some of the proceeds from Savvy Essentials to give back to breast cancer research. That's what we're doing right now. Dr. Phillip, Brother Sim, you guys have any writing material out, any books, let me know, because I love to put them in our store.
Yeah. Yeah, that's and I know Brother James, he does a lot of work in his community. He does a lot of work. And so, and it's needed in his area. So big ups to you. Kevin, you the young gun. Entrepreneur, I know everything what you got going on. So you tell these young guys, man, if they just happen to listen, what? Because I want you to tell us like the things that you have going on.
Absolutely, yeah. So I have Golden Equity LLC. It's a real estate investment company. We do all types of real estate investments. So we do fix and flip, buy and hold. Currently have a 3-unit building right now, renting out. Should be closing another property, hopefully by the end of the month, for a fix and flip. We also wholesale. So if you have anyone that has distressed property they're looking to get rid of, get a cash offer, close quick, reach out to me. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook. That's Golden Equity LLC. Buying back the block in Chicago. Focus on the south side and the west side. We're making it happen. Also, I do the music as well, right? So I produce. I like to call myself a super producer. This haven't been discovered yet. So, my production name or my producer name, if you want to call it, is Drastic Ends. That's Drastik, then Ends, ENDZ, two separate words. You can find me on Instagram at I Am Drastic Ends, all one word, or also on YouTube. Just search Drastic Ends, subscribe to the channel, have music out there. You can purchase the music on beatstars.com. Have my music and stuff featured out there as well. I'm also a member of a board for a nonprofit, soon to be not-for-profit, currently a for-profit, called Presentations Everything. It's a small business consulting firm owned by Lanice Lee. She provides all type of business services. So if you need your books looked at to prepare for tax season, if you're looking to enhance your website, reach out. It's called Presentation is Everything. Pi, pretty easy to remember. We have a lot going on. I also mentor people in real estate as well. I learned a lot in my years starting up this business and learning to acquire, buy and hold properties, fix and flips, working with the city, zoning, different coding, regulations, things of that nature, even construction budgets, how to get funded. I can give you a lot of details and resources around that as well. I don't charge anything for that. I just like giving the knowledge out, sharing what I've learned. So reach out to me for that as well.
So ladies and gentlemen, this is a young black man. He ain't hanging out on the corners.
Hey, man.
He utilizing every aspect of his life right now to enhance himself. And that's important, because we need to hear that. I'm tired of hearing the negative stories. I'm tired of hearing on the 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock news, wherever you live, the first 3 minutes is black man shot here, so-and-so shot here, and they show the mug shot. We didn't see Kevin's picture. Hey, black man, business,
yes, sir.
Enterprise. That's, this is what we need to promote more of. And I'm not saying we love our young brothers that's out there struggling, because we know it's a struggle. But Kevin, Brother James, Dr. Paul, we've all beat those odds. God. We all beat the odds. And I, you know what? And I'm going to end the show on this. And I always like to say the odds. When your parents had sex, it was like 50 million sperms. You would have wanted to make it out of 50 million. Just think about that, man. 50 million, you was the one. Okay? Right. And so you made it. And just like right now, we can do the same things. And so we need more brothers like Kevin to be at the forefront and to talk about things. My brothers, I appreciate you all being on the show. This is very informative. And I look forward to having you all back. I really want y'all on this Relationship Thursday. So one of these Relationship Thursdays, I got to get y'all in so we could really talk some relationships. Because, you know, my wife said, oh, Relationship Thursdays. Huh? I was like, hey, babe, we married. So we good. I'm good. But make sure that you tune in to the Jeff Thomas Show. Make sure you subscribe on Facebook. You go to our Facebook page. I'm on Instagram at the Jeff Thomas Show. You can also on Twitter, Jeff Thomas Show. And make sure you subscribe and download our podcast right here. Hey, you guys have a wonderful week. I appreciate you all. Hey, this is the Jeff Thomas Show, always on time.